everywhere you look, and you're like, man, how do you game plan against that guy? How do you game plan against this guy? And it was tough because there was nothing there. I look at Alabama right now. Are you scared of a brand new start at quarterback? Well, at this point in time, no. And again, who knows? Maybe Mac or maybe Russell are going to be great players. I don't know that yet. Hadn't seen them yet. Does Daniel Hill scare you at running back?
Who?
Daniel Hill, their leading returning rusher.
No.
Because he rushed for 284 yards last year and six touchdowns.
Again.
Does Kevin Riley scare you at running back?
Who?
Kevin Riley, the guy that ran for 224 yards and two touchdowns last year. Dude, that used to be who was the Big Mac truck guy?
Is that Bo Scarborough?
Yeah. Used to be Bo Scarborough. Like, I'm scared. I would look at him in bed at night and make sure Bo Scarborough's not underneath the bed.
And I feel like there was another, it might have been Ingram. No, it wouldn't. Was it Henry and Scarborough on the same team?
Henry and Scarborough, man, I would wake up shaking in the middle of the night, like cold sweats, thinking about those guys. I got to play those guys? Now I got to play Daniel Hill, and I got to play E.J. Crowell or Kevin Riley. Never heard of them.
Bo Scarborough was a backup to Derrick Henry.
I mean, how do you play that?
And they also had Kenyon Drake on the same team.
Yeah. Now Bama rushed the ball last year. Bama rushed for 104 yards a game last year. They ain't scaring anybody. At wide receiver, you could say Ryan Williams. Now it's Ryman Colvin Williams. But does he scare anybody anymore? He did the first six games as a freshman. And then last year, he caught four touchdowns. Last year, he caught 689 balls for four touchdowns. Like, is he scaring anybody? That used to be Ruggs and Judy. And now I don't know. Does Lotzer Brooks scare anybody? I mean, on that offensive line, that used to be the first-round draft picks up and down. Alex Leatherwood. Alex Leatherwood just to scare you like crazy. I'll tell you this. Michael Carroll is a good guard for them, and Ryan Williams is a serviceable wide receiver. Here's what doesn't scare you about Alabama. Phil Steele, this is very important. Phil Steele has a four-team, first-team All-SEC, second-team All-SEC, third-team All-SEC, and four-team All-SEC. Phil still has a, you know, one quarterback, two running backs, three wide receivers. So that's one over right there, a tight end. So what's that? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. So that's 12 guys on offense. Can't play 12, but you got 12 guys on offense. So that's 48 players for first 1 through 4 teams on the all SEC teams. Bama has two. Bama has two. Ryan Williams, a second-team guy at wide receiver, and Michael Carroll, second-team guy. Bama's not scaring you. Honest to goodness, I mean, the Brown kid at cornerback is a good player on defense. Caleb Woodson's a good linebacker. They've got two on defense. No, there are three. Keon Sapp is the third one. They've got five players of the top. What's that then? Of the top 96 players in the SEC, according to Phil Steele in this thing. Top 96, they have five. Texas has four on the first team. Texas has on first team offense. No. That's just offense. Texas has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Bear with me a second. Smothers is 7. Texas has. I'm just going to make sure I'm not saying this. I'm going to tell you Georgia has as well. Texas has 7. Georgia, you Georgia fans, you want to hear this. You're not scared to go into Tuscaloosa this year. Here's why. Georgia has Bobo on the first team. Georgia has Raylan Wilson, linebacker, on the first team. Elias Robinson in the secondary. K.J. Bolden in the secondary. Georgia's got four there. Second team offense, nobody. Second team defense, they got Chris Cole. Boy, he's going to be a superstar, I feel like. That's five. Third team, Gunnar Stockton, that's six. Nate Frazier, that's seven. Quarterback and running back. Dontrell Glover, that's eight. He's better than that. Ernest Green, that's nine. Elijah Griffin, third team guy, that's 10. He's better than that. Georgia's got Gabe Harris. That's 11. Georgia's got 11 of the top 96 players in the league. Bama's got five. Bama's not scaring you, man, is what I'm telling you. Bama's not scaring you. And honest to goodness, South Carolina kind of gave Bama a scare the last 2 years. The big, bad, mighty all Alabama had to find a way to beat South Carolina and Tuscaloosa 27-25. And then last year, Bama had to save themselves in Columbia 29-22. If you could make a legitimate case that South Carolina should have beaten Alabama the last 2 years and didn't beat them either one now, to be fair, didn't beat them either one. But I tell you this, South Carolina outplayed Bama, especially in 24. And I give those stats to you. So my point is, South Carolina scared of Alabama? That sounds crazy to think about, doesn't it? I think that says a lot about where we are in the league now. All right, let me give you this. In 24, South Carolina had more first downs than Alabama. Out first down of 23-20. Had 374 yards, helped Bama to 313. They outrushed Bama 132-104. They outpassed Bama 242-209. They had it for more time. Now, they turned it over four times and found a way to lose the game. The Gamecocks could have very – they outplayed Alabama in 24. In 2025, last year, if you remember that weird game, 29-22 victory by Alabama. In this one, South Carolina had more first downs, had more total yards, outrushed Bama 111-72, had it for more plays. I mean, had it for more time possession. And, you know, had a 22-14 lead with 2.5 minutes to go in the game, had an 8-point lead and lost in regulation. Bama had two scoring drives in the final 2 minutes of the game to win. So you're supposed to be scared. And Bama's going to be worse this year, in my opinion. You scared of Alabama? I don't think so. Very few people tell you that Bama is going to lose to South Carolina. But that's in my opinion, that's on the table. And again, South Carolina's not great. But that's a doable game there. At Oklahoma, I think, is tougher. Georgia at home is tougher. But I'm just not scared of Alabama at this point in time. Who on Bama's team right now, who you scared of? Who you game planning against? And it might be the two quarterbacks. We've seen very, very little of Alabama and very, very, very little of these two quarterbacks so far. Let me give you this quick before I take a break. Austin Mack so far, he's a junior. He's 6'6 and 235. So far in his Bama career, he's thrown 35 passes, completed 26. He's thrown for 260-something yards, three touchdowns, no picks. He's rushed 9 carries for 22 yards. And he's a senior from California, but just hadn't done a whole lot. Keelon Russell, 11 of 15 for 143, two touchdowns, no picks. So maybe one of those two guys, and Russell's a big kid too, 6'3", a 200-pound guy. Maybe one of those guys is just you know, turns out to be a guy who puts the team on the back and carries them. But he's going to have to. If not, Bama is behind a very average offensive line. I told you, Phil still has Bama's in the 61st best offensive line in the country. But Phil still has Bama at, let me give you quarterbacks and all that once again. 61st in offensive line. He has Bama as the 38th best quarterback situation. He's got Bama as the 45th best running back situation. Uphill battle, man, for Alabama this year, in my opinion. We'll see. And Phil Steele's opinion. We'll see. All right, short break. We'll come back. Love to hear from you. 654-ROAR, Pratt Injury Lawyer phone line, 654-ROAR, 654-7627, or Adams Co. Roofing text line. I've not been drinking today. You know, Texas Bama's Reuben Foster would be headhunting Raglan and Alex Leatherwood. Those guys, you're scared of those guys. Anybody scared of anybody in Alabama? I'm not been drinking this morning, by the way. I'm not doing drugs. But I'm telling you, South Carolina's got a chance to win in Tuscaloosa. And they should have won the last two, or could have won the last two times against Alabama. That goes to show you how far Bama's fallen. Short break, much more on the other side after this. Welcome back. Hey, love for you to join us. Pratt Injury Lawyers phone line, 864. You want to call them, it's 864law.com. That's their website, 864law.com. You want to call us on our Pratt Injury Lawyer phone lines, 864-654-7627. 864-654-ROAR. All right. Texter makes a great point. I gave you this whole deal about Bam only has four guys or five guys out of the top 96 in the league. And Texter, how many South Carolina have? Two. They got Dylan Stewart, first team in Phil Steele's magazine, and they have Jay Johnson, linebacker, the fourth team. Not, make sure I'm right by saying this. I think I'm right. Not one offensive guy at South Carolina on the top 48. The first four teams of all SEC teams there, and there's two on defense. So not like South Carolina's got a ton either. But my point is, you see Bama in Tuscaloosa on your schedule, you're like, oh, man, that's a loss. No, I mean, really? Not necessarily. Oklahoma didn't think so last year, you know. It is a tough place to play. Maybe they will themselves. And look, and again, to be clear, maybe the quarterbacks are going to be great. But they better be. They better be. Just think about what it used to be there and what it is now. And it is a tremendous drop-off. All right. I wanted to do this. Texas said 45 days till Clemson goes to Baton Rouge and wins 27-20. I love your optimism, 22-79. I love your optimism. Wish I could share it. What's this one mean? And he only missed his spot by 10 yards. Who are we talking about there?
I think he's talking about Tiger Woods or...
Roy McIlroy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you want to see suck, Roy McIlroy? Tiger Woods, you want to see suck? Come play with me, man. I'll show you suck. Texture says, Dabo does not need to have a three-game lose streak against Shane Beamer in the Valley. Or anywhere else for that matter. You know, what's crazy is Dabo's beaten South Carolina 9 out of 11 times. It depends. This is a great example of your perspective. When you think of the South Carolina Clemson rivalry, do you think of South Carolina, or do you think of Dabo winning 9 of the last 11 against the Gamecocks? Or do you think of Shane Beamer winning the last two in Clemson? What would that – first of all, I don't know. We're not guaranteed that Beamer gets the shot to win three in a row. Because if they lay an egg against either Mississippi State or Kentucky and lose to Bama and lose to Florida, and then it's on. We talked about this yesterday. In his first six, if he goes 3-3, let's say he loses to Bama, loses to Kentucky, loses to Florida, or lose to Bama and Florida on the road and either lose to Mississippi State or Kentucky, that's 3-3. And then Tennessee, Oklahoma, that's going to be 4. A&M is 5. Georgia 6. Like, do you make it? Does he even make it to Death Valley? Maybe. Maybe not. But in that game, that's going to be a very interesting game. Clemson fans are kind of down on Clemson's program right now. South Carolina fans kind of down on their program right now. What it felt like last year, here's what's crazy. Going into last year, Gamecocks preseason number 13 in the country, Clemson preseason number 4 in the country, you're thinking, man, in Columbia, South Carolina, that's going to be this war, these two fight fan bases that are going to be absolutely just playing for a playoff spot, right?
Yeah, we were talking about
this time last year.
We could have a rematch in the first round of the playoff.
Yeah, and not only that, we could have our two quarterbacks are going to New York. Could be Heisman Trophy guys. And through it all, who would have had what did Clemson do last year, touchdown wise? 18 touchdowns, 6 picks. Is that what he did? Was it 16 or 18?
I mean, 18 sounds like a lot for what we saw on the field.
Yeah. You didn't have Lenore Sellers going, see what I'm right saying this, going 13 touchdowns and 8 picks, and Lenore Sellers going running for 5 touchdowns. So he had a total of 18 touchdowns last year, Lenore Sellers. Nobody had that, right? And then from that's certainly not Heisman. That's not, he was the 14th best quarterback in the league last year. And no one had them at 4-8. We talk about missing on Clemson all the time around here because they're fourth in the country. South Carolina's 13th in the preseason poll at 4-8. Anybody have that? I have to do a speaking engagement coming up in Charleston in August. And one of the things I'm going to tell the folks, I'm embarrassed that last year I told you I thought Clemson was a top 10 team because they weren't. But the other thing I'm going to tell them is the reason I'm back to speaking this year is because you couldn't find somebody that was going to tell you they were going to be 7-6. Like, nobody knew. Yeah, 16 touchdowns and 6 picks for Klubnik. So last year, through the air, those took about for 29 touchdowns. Like, what? You thought it was going to be some sort of war in Columbia for a better playoff spot.
First of 40.
Two guys battling for the Heisman.
Yeah.
Instead of battling for the laying an egg bowl, where nobody, a noon game where it was a pick six that was basically the difference in the game. And outside of two long passes, South Carolina did nothing offensively. And Clemson didn't do a whole lot more, but had a pick six at the end and won by 2 touchdowns. So, but, you know, there again, is that a Dabo 9 of 11 against them, or is that Beamer winning the last 2 in Clemson? We'll see. Who knows what that – I tell you this about all the time. That's how you know football seasons are long. When you don't know in October what the game's going to mean. But certainly not in July what that game's going to mean. That's interesting. I had this thought. I had a question yesterday that I want to get into today. I hadn't done it yet. But there's 6 brand-new coaches in the league in the SEC. Kiffin, Stein, Silverfield, Golding, Golish, and Summerall. And in ranking them, I personally think Pete Golden he's got a new haircut, though. He got rid of the curls. You see that?
No, what?
Yeah, they straightened him out. He kind of looks like a little bit almost like an adult now rather than a guy who's been in college too long.
Or in a jail cell.
Yeah. The DUI photos keep popping up of all the, just the hair, just the mess going everywhere. But if you look at, like, his resume and what he's done, I mean, and look, they've got a bunch of money there, and they'll be better this year. But that's a guy you'd say, I mean, who knows. Ryan Silverfield, I don't like the hire at Arkansas. I don't think he's going to be successful at Arkansas. But at least, like, he won 10 games twice at Memphis. But, like, in their league, he was only 27-21. At Memphis, he went 0-1, 8-3, 6-6, 7-6, 10-3, 11-2, and last year 8-4. I'm not crazy about the hire. He was a high school coach for 1 year, by the way, and went 1-9. So he's 27-21 in the American Conference. I'm not crazy about the hire. I think that's like the 5th best of the hires.
It's strange how Memphis coaches seem to be overvalued a lot.
That's a great point.
I mean, who were the last 2 that were hired out before Silverfield?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh!
At Arkansas? Well, Sam.
No,
Pittman.
Out of Memphis.
Oh, out of Memphis. Already in Memphis.
FSU's.
The guy at Virginia Tech.
Yeah.
And the guy at Florida State.
Norvell. Dreadlocks. Yeah.
Yeah, Norvell. Yeah.
Dreadlock Norvell.
And then the Virginia Tech thing didn't work out either. Look, Golden. I'd rank Golding 6. I'd rank Silverfield 5. I'd rank Golish 4th. I think Golish, he was 14-10 in that same league. You know, he got these mid majors, and so how they're going to do, I don't know. I mean, again, a lot of it depends on NIL rather than who these coaches are. But 7-6 at South Florida, 7-6 South Florida, 9-3. But I'll go with him a little bit better than Silverfield. At 3, I'll do Stein. I like Stein. I like the treasure chest they're going to have. And that's good. Obviously, number one is going to be Kiffin. I mean, Kiffin's proven it a little bit and proven that. But let me give you one we haven't talked enough about so far. And he'll go tomorrow, and it's John Summerall. Summerall, you tend to forget this. He's been a head coach at two different places now. So Golich was one. Golding hadn't been one yet. Stein hadn't been one yet. And Silverfield was at one place. This guy's been a head coach at two different places. And let me tell you what he's done. And he took over some good situations, too. It's not like he had to rebuild. But at Troy, he went 12-2 and 11-2. So at Troy, he went 23-4. 14-2 in the Sun Belt. Then he goes to Tulane, and he goes 9-5 and 11-3. 20-8 overall and 14-2 in their league. So he's 43-12 overall, and he's 28-4 in conference play. I think so far to date, he's got the best resume outside of Kiffin. Now, I like the hire. I like the Philo coming in at quarterback. I think Philo's going to be a star there. And I told you, I love Buster Faulkner. Mm-hmm. And I think Jaden Ball's going to be a good back, and Vernell Brown and Eric Singleton and all that. I don't know how the offensive line's got a lot of experience coming back. I think they'll be much better. Their offense last year was atrocious. Defensively, I'm not sold on them yet. We'll see. But I think Florida's got a chance to be much improved from 4-8 last year. Now, they do get Texas, and they do get Georgia, and they get Oklahoma. But and all the, away from home, they have Auburn, Missouri, Texas, Georgia, and Kentucky, and Florida State. So the schedule, you know, road game's pretty tough. It's not a good home game year for them. Fort Atlantic, Campbell, they get Ole Miss, South Carolina, Oklahoma, and Vanderbilt. But I do think John Summerall with Philo and Buster Faulkner, I love those hires. I think Summerall's the best. And be honest with you, with Lane Kiffin and his instability all around him, there might be a chance here. And this is the same guy who told you South Carolina can beat Alabama in Tuscaloosa, so don't take this for granted. There might be a chance here that John Summerall might be the best of the hires. He's got the best record of anybody so far, and he's done it at two schools. And again, a lot of them, all these guys, if you give them enough money, then they can go out and buy enough players, they won't be able to screw it up. But is it safe to say right now, Will, Lane Kiffin 1, Summerall 2, Stein 3, Golish 4, Silverfield 5, Golden 6 among the new hires in the league? What would you differ than that?
I would rearrange the bottom three. I would put Silverfield last, and then Outlaw Pete.
Outlaw Pete.
Who'd you have at three?
I had Stein at three.
I would put Stein at four and Golish at three.
Yeah.
Stein, just because, I mean, he's got great experience as coordinator, but
yeah.
But again, it's really tough to look at Summerall's resume. 4 years as a head coach.
Yeah, two different places.
All FBS.
Yeah.
Three conference titles in 4 years.
Yep. And his worst year was 9-5. And the other thing is now at Troy, let me look this up quick. We got to take a break. But his losses, he lost to Ole Miss, and he lost a four-point game to App State in his first year at Troy. So he beat a bunch of people. He didn't have a chance to beat. In the second year, he lost to Kansas State, lost to James Madison, lost to Duke. And so they weren't better than any of those teams. At Tulane, in his second year, he lost to Kansas State, Oklahoma, Memphis Army, and Florida. So, really, the Memphis game might have been the only one in there where they weren't better. They remember it was a ranked Army team that year. Oh, brave old Army team. And then last year at Tulane, they lost to Ole Miss, lost to Texas San Antonio. That's one they shouldn't have lost. And then lost to Ole Miss again in the playoffs. If you're better than him, you can beat him. But he didn't lose the teams. He didn't get upset a whole lot. You know, again, he only has 12 losses in 55 games, but he hadn't been upset a whole lot. So I like that. I think it's a good safe hire at Florida. I think it's the best football coach we've had at Florida in quite some time. Short break. We'll come back. We'll wrap things up in the final segment of a Tuesday show right after this. Guy in a beach bar covering Jimmy Buffett. Like what that picture would look like. Because I'm telling you, it's going to be Pete Golden.
Well, okay. Pete Golden's grandfather might have been a sailor.
Yeah.
His dad was an outlaw.
Okay. Outlaw Pete.
And he's a scam artist.
Yeah. I'm telling you, it would look like Pete Golden with the curly-haired DUI looking, the mugshot of Pete Golden. That's what the guy looks like. I feel like I'm walking into a place called Sandbar Jimmy's, and I'm going to get me a flounder sandwich, grouper sandwich, whatever, with a side of fries and some coleslaw, or po' boy, oyster po' boy, and he's going to have flip-flops on with his cargo shorts on and that visor. And you can request, he'll get mad at you because you request come Monday three times in a set. Texas said, Pete Golding is the son of a something, but it ain't no sailor. We have a unbelievable fan base, listing base here. That's great. That's fantastic. My great friends at Carolina Flooring Specialists. Boy, I love our garage floor. I love how it invades our home. I love the fact my 2.5-year-old little girl can go play in it, in a little dollhouse in it, and my son can go. I can close the garage doors and turn the fans on and let him go hit baseballs in there and throw baseballs and hit golf balls in there. I just like that it's not oil stains everywhere, transmission fluid stains everywhere. There's not cracks everywhere. There's not the concrete's not coming up. There's little tiny little rocks around there. And my little daughter's not going to eat one and swallow one, whatever. You know, it's like, it's going to be cleaned up and nice. Yesterday, I got the lawnmower out and I had a little excess grass in there. Just wiped it up. Carolina Floyd Specialist, the best, the most experienced team out there. And I love this family and these people here, really good people. Call Tim today, 404-8158, 404-8158. I wanted to give you this tomorrow. Let me give you the rundown. Tomorrow is one of my favorite shows of the year, as we are going to have an incredible group of guests on. We're going over to Anderson County. We're going over to, I call it Pendleton. What's the other place we would call that over there?
Sandy Springs.
Sandy Springs. And we're going to Arthrex. And we're going to have 9 segments tomorrow, 6 to 9. I'm really excited about this. So Dr. Steve Martin, who's our normal guest, our Prisma Health Brewage Orthopedics, head orthopedic surgeon for Clemson University Athletics and friend, he's going to be with us. Dennis O'Keefe's going to be with us. He's the vice president for communications for Arthrex. And we're going to introduce the show. And then tomorrow morning at 6:25, Sammy Brown, Clemson All-American linebacker, will be with us live in over there at Arthrex. And then my niece Isabella Raw, former women's alumnus, because they had two, they're Arthrex athletes, they had two Arthrex surgeries. We're going to be hearing from the project manager, engineering manager for fiber tape sternal closures for having open heart surgeries. I'm really interested in how that works. We're doing different open heart surgeries now because of this technology. The owner of the company will join us tomorrow. He's in Germany now, but he spends his time here and there. And so we're going to talk about Arthrex in the upstate and what Arthrex is going, where they're headed. Tony Vanelli's a Clemson grad. He's one of the top athletic trainers in the country. He trains NFL guys year-round and gets guys ready for the NFL combine and all that. We've had him on the show before. He invented the treadmill. I can't wait to get with Tony and his energy. Cub Swanson, MMA Hall of Famer, who's an Arthrex athlete as well, is going to join us. Skylar Fulton, who is the head of the NFL International Players Pathway Program. He's going all over the world searching for future NFL players. He joins us. Dabo Sweeney is going to join us tomorrow. He's going to talk about Clemson football and the technology and medicines, what it means to head coaches and all that. And then Dr. Chris Ahmad, the head team physician for the New York Yankees, and talking about his career in the nano needle and how all that works out. He's an author as well. I just can't wait. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be a great show tomorrow from over at Arthrex. It's a good day when you get Sammy Brown and Isabella Roll and Dabo Sweeney and Tony Vanelli and Chris Amano. It's going to be a great show. Can't wait. Texture said Pete Golden's in the back bar at Whaley's. Like Bernie Michael said, I guess his mom was Brandy working at the Dockside bar. Yeah. I have a great call to end the show. Brad Hughes from Allstate, by the way. 292-3001. Brad Hughes at Allstate.com. Brad Hughes Insurance.com. Better coverage, better rates. Thanks to my great friend Brad Hughes and the Allstate Insurance Agency. Combine your auto owners and your homeowners, and let's see if we can save you some money. And let's see if we can get you better coverage, too. Brad Hughes at Allstate.com. A dear friend of mine, someone I have the utmost respect for, someone I'll do business with no matter what. He happens to be in the insurance business, and I happen to be a great, very satisfied customer with Brad Hughes and the Allstate Insurance Agency. To end the show, we save the best for last. James, the truck driver. Good morning, friend. How you doing this morning?
Oh, I'm doing well. I'm doing well. I was going to ask something about South Carolina, but I want to share something with you.
All right.
I can just wait till tomorrow.
All right.
We did an outreach with some youth, and you had to be there to see what happened. And, you know, when the Bible tells us, let us lay aside every weight, every sin that so easily beset us. Things don't have to be a sin to be a weight. It can be a good thing, but if it takes the place of God in our lives, it become a weight. And then it become an idol. And so we was able to talk to the young people about a lot of different things. We had 21 to make decisions for Christ.
Oh,
I want to share that.
How about that, man? How
I want to share that.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I got
man.
Saved through a Billy Graham crusade.
Did you really? What year are you talking about?
It was a while back. I was watching. I had joined the church. I went through the whole nine yards, but I didn't have a relationship with Christ at all. And I heard him on TV one night preaching, but you got to be born again. I thought, so I remember going in that kneel by the bed and said, Lord, I'm a sinner. I need you. And I don't have all the answer, but I know you do. And that was my turning point.
How about that, man? How about that? That's awesome. Yeah, how about that?
Yeah, so I let you go. I just want to share that with you.
Well, I appreciate you sharing it with me. Are you? I will tell you this. I get texts all the time from people saying, how's James doing? How's he feeling? How's his career going and all that? And so you give me an update? Everything good with you guys?
Yes, it's doing well.
Great. I'm glad to hear it. Yes. All right, my friend. Don't
Thank
be a stranger.
You so much.
Hey, great. Congratulations. Okay. Great job. Don't be a stranger.
All right.
All right, buddy. Need that laugh every once in a while, too, just to kind of get you going, pick you up a little bit. That's fantastic. SEC Media Days today. Alex Golish, Auburn. Kirby Smart, Georgia. Shane Beamer, South Carolina. Clark Lee, Vanderbilt. Hey, now, what we should have done more of the Florida and Ole Miss and A&M and Alabama, we'll do that on Thursday when we come back. And the final day of Thursday, Arkansas, LSU, Mississippi State, and Texas. We'll kind of break all those down as well because we missed that because we had Arthrex all day tomorrow. But we're certainly looking forward to more and who will make the headlines and headmakers all that day. Quickly, a couple of quick things here. Russ gets in. My buddy Russ said, I love that guy. Absolutely love that guy. So that's good. And then, Ray, my friend Ray gets in and says this. You know, we talked about Bama and not scaring anybody because it used to be Alex Leatherwood and it used to be Tay Cody and it used to be guys are just ready just to knock your head off and the Scarboroughs and all these guys in the world. Ray makes a good point. Hey, it's interesting, and I can say the same thing as a Clemson fan. You're talking about Bama, but the same goes for Clemson. Does Clemson strike the fear in the eyes of opponents right now? No, because I don't see Christian Wilkins or Dexter Lawrence. And I don't see Cleveland Farrell. And I don't see Trevor Lawrence or Deshaun Watson. And I don't see T. Higgins and Artavis Scott and Sammy Watkins. I don't see that out there now. So, no, it's exactly like that. It's 100% like that. And who thought that? When Clemson and Bama were knocking each other over the head with backside of axes in that four-game series they played in these college football playoffs, who would have thought that you come into a season thinking that, well, at quarterback, when it was those All-American quarterbacks going at it, that Bama would have the nation's 38th best quarterback. Clemson had the 49th best quarterbacks. Who'd have thought at running back, when all those running backs are crushing each other, that Clemson would be 37 at running back and at Alabama be 41st at running back? We're talking about less than a decade ago. Who'd have thought the offensive lines, that Clemson would be 40th and Bama would be 61st? Who'd have thought that rivalry turned out like that? just a few short years later. Best music of the day, buddy. What do you have for me over there?
Jagged Little Pill.
Jagged Little Pill.
Set.
Yeah.
You know what's ironic?
What's that?
There are reports coming out that your boy, current but soon to be former athletic director at Michigan, told Sharon Moore a year before he was fired for having an inappropriate relationship with a staff member. Your boy told Sharon Moore directly to not travel with that person.
And still let it go on. I'm taking the victory lap. I hate seeing my loser job. Ward Manuel, all you had to do is just listen to me. Eric Newton, Eric Newton, Eric Newton.com for all the real set needs. EricNewton.com. Get in touch. I'm certainly help you out. Eric does a great job and would love to do more of that for you. They'd love to talk about building your next home. And think about that Newton Scott Associates and what Eric Newton could do. Tiger-Properties.com, EricNewton.com. Yeah, I'll take the victory lap of Ward Manuel. If you'd just done what I told you to do in the email just 3 short years ago, you'd still be the athletic director at Michigan next year, and you're not. Because you didn't have principal. And now your kids got to look at you like a failure. Let me thank Dr. Milt Louder. Great job. Will, great job, man. Have a great week.
You too.
Up next, Faxon and Sam, two of my favorite people. Friends, I hope you have a wonderful Tuesday. But most importantly, tune in tomorrow. That's we will see you right here on the radio.